Hey everyone, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and welcome to another Bike James podcast. In this podcast, I'm going to talk about high-performance breathing and how you can take your cardio to the next level through specific methods that you can use both in your workouts and on the bike. So in a previous podcast, I covered the basics of better breathing for mountain biking and why you need to focus more on this important part of your health and fitness. So if you haven't heard that podcast, I encourage you to go back and check that out because, again, it lays the foundation for what we're going to talk about today. So in that podcast, I covered the three keys to better breathing. And just real quickly, those are nasal breathing, making sure you're breathing through your nose as much as possible, breathing with your diaphragm, that muscle at the bottom of the lungs that's designed for breathing. You want to make sure that you're using that to drive your breathing, and then matching your breathing to your effort level. And we're going to definitely talk more about that as we get into some of these methods. But those are the three keys for better breathing. And again, in that previous podcast, I cover more about what exactly these are, why it's so important that you think about these things and employ these things and what the benefits are. But in this one, we're going to be focusing more on high performance breathing and more specifically how you can improve your endurance and the ability to focus in high stress situations. So this is going to be very context specific for the rider and how what they do, right? So endurance and ability to focus in high stress situations is going to be much different for a downhill racer compared to someone who is competing in the Leadville 100. But at the end of the day, both of these riders are looking for the ability to ride faster and or longer and be able to deal with high stress situations better. And if you can do these things, and this is often the key to breaking through plateaus to the next level of performance on the bike. And you're going to find that these high performance breathing methods that I'm going to share with you can really help you do that. Like I mentioned earlier, you're going to find, I forget if I did already, but you're going to find that some people run into a plateau with regular training methods. So after the first year or two of riding and using a training method, they tend to find that they're not getting the same results or having to spend more time. And so switching to something different, especially these methods that we're talking about, can sometimes help you break through that plateau. And what people find when they start using these training methods is that these can help strengthen the true weak link in their performance. Which really, that's what you're looking to do. You're not looking to train everything equally. You're trying to figure out what's the weak link in my performance, and then I need to focus on that. And if a lot of times, if you're not seeing good results on the trail, it's because you may have the best training program in the world for another weak link than what you have. And so these training methods may help you address some of the true weak links that you have in your performance. So the four methods that I'm going to cover are breathing gears, your breath hold training or CO2 tolerance workouts, proactive breathing, and then specific breathing workouts. And so starting with breathing gears, if you look at your breathing patterns as gears, then you can start to see how to use them more effectively. And we have three basic breathing patterns, and these are things that we naturally go through unconsciously. And what we want to do is be more conscious of them and make better use of these breathing patterns to match our effort level. Because again, that's really what a lot of efficient breathing comes down to, is matching your breathing to your effort level and not breathing harder and over breathing in most situations, right? So we'll cover a situation that breaks that rule here in a minute, but most of the time you want to avoid over breathing. And so by using this concept of breathing gears, you can train this and also make sure that you're doing a better job of matching those things on the trail. So your three basic breathing patterns are easy. And so for easy breathing, you're looking for nose breathing, right? In through the nose and out through the nose. You want a slow controlled inhale and a slow controlled exhale. So something like 3 to 4 seconds in and 3 to 4 seconds out. You're looking for an exhale that is at least as long, if not longer, than your inhale. And so a slow, controlled exhale will signal more of the rest and relax response and a sharper exhale will trigger more of that fight or flight response. And if we're have an easy effort level, we should be trying to trigger as much of the rest and relax response as we can. That's why it's easy. So if you're doing something easy and you're not matching that effort level, you're breathing harder than that, then you are over breathing, and metabolically that's very inefficient. Okay, so moving up to the next gear, we're looking at moderate. And moderate is up to like 80%. So you're going to spend a lot of time at this effort level. And this is also the breathing gear that tends to be the hardest for most people. People tend to skip right from easy to hard, which is the next gear. Okay, so moderate should be nose-mouth. In through the nose, out through the mouth. You're looking for a faster inhale and a faster exhale. So something like 2 to 3 seconds in, 1 to 2 seconds out. So something more like, right? So, good, relatively hard breathing, but not the hardest breathing, right? So your hardest breathing is going to be mouth-mouth, 1 to 2 second inhale, 1 maybe 2 second exhale, full inhale, full exhale, the, right? That probably sounds very familiar to a lot of us, that sound there as you're struggling to get up a climb, myself included. I know that sound very well myself, but the point is that is your hardest gear. And when you think about it instinctively, like I said, a lot of us, well, all of us already employ this on some level. We just don't do it consciously. And so you're going to find that you tend to overbreathe a lot of times because of that. So you can train this and be more conscious of it and more effective with your breathing gears through Superman breathing during your warm-up, and then using those gears during your workouts. So Superman breathing is actually one of the tests for good breathing that I covered in the first podcast. But again, visualization. If you remember Superman, he's got his hands on his side and standing nice and tall. And so what you're looking for is to take a C grip with your hands and palms facing the floor. You're going to cup your bottommost ribs with that C grip. And then as you breathe in, you should feel pressure pushing your hands out to the side. And then as you breathe out, you should feel that pressure decreasing and your hands coming in. And so what this signals, if you're feeling that pressure as you're breathing in, pushing the hands out, and then as you breathe out, that pressure decreases, that is a very likely sign that you're using your diaphragm to drive your breathing. So again, going back to the three keys to better breathing, you want to make sure that you're breathing with your diaphragm. So as you're practicing these breathing gear patterns, it doesn't do you any good if you're doing the patterns without driving your breathing from your diaphragm. So the Superman breathing will help you make sure that you're using your diaphragm to drive the breathing patterns as opposed to just using whatever like we normally do. And so what you would do is go through those three gears. You would do, anywhere from 5 to 10 breaths of each of those gears, working from starting with the easy, nice, 3 to 4 second inhale and 3 to 4 second exhale, and then shifting up to moderate with the nose mouth breathing, with the 2 to 3 seconds inhale, 1 to 2 second exhale, and then your hard, the mouth mouth with the 1 to 2 second inhale and exhale. So you just go through those gears and making sure that you're driving them from your diaphragm through the Superman breathing position. And then with your workouts, you can do breathing gear intervals. So say you're going to do a minute interval, you could set a timer so that you're doing the first 20 seconds at easy, and then you're going to do the next 20 seconds moderate, and then you're going to do the last 20 seconds hard. And so you're going to use your breathing to drive that effort level. So easy, you're going to make sure you're using nose-nose, the breathing pattern that we already went over, and then shifting to moderate. And so as you go harder, you're driving that through shifting to that moderate breathing pattern. And then finally, you're hard, you shift again to that hard breathing pattern and drive that last 20 seconds with that breathing pattern. So you're being proactive with your breathing, which is something we're going to cover how to use that technique on the trail. But this is how you train that in your workouts, is by having you know, specific workouts or parts of your workouts where you are being more conscious of driving your effort level with these breathing gears. You can also use ramping isometrics to do this as well. So one of my favorite strength training methods is also a great cardio training method because of this. And so you're doing 30 seconds at easy and then ramping up to 20 seconds at moderate and then finally 10 seconds at hard and matching the breathing gears to those effort levels. So you're driving your tension with your breathing as opposed to having your tension, you know, dictate your breathing. And that's what usually happens is we start working hard and then we start breathing harder. And so we're behind the curve a little bit. And so that brings us into proactive breathing, which is how do you apply this to the trail? And so again, this is tied to the breathing gears method. And with this method, what you're going to do is shift your gears before you need to. When you know a hard effort like a climb or a hard sprint is coming. So we're kind of breaking our rule about over-breathing. So this is over-breathing on purpose. And this has a place in our toolbox. But remember, you still want to avoid over-breathing on a regular basis, both on and off the bike. This is a specific method that you're employing at specific times, but you don't want to be over-breathing, you know, all of the time. And again, that's why matching your breathing to your effort level. But what you're doing is being proactive with that. So say you have a climb coming up, and usually what you would do is you would hit the climb and you would wait until things got harder to start breathing harder. But by this time you're behind the fatigue curve. Okay. So you're the buildup of CO2 and metabolic byproducts, the ability to get oxygen to the muscles, it's really starting to get compromised when you get to that point. And so if you shift to a harder gear, so say that you're in the moderate gear, right, and you're coming to a climb, and right as you get to the climb and start going up it, you proactively shift to the hard gear and you start breathing harder. And what this is going to do is it's going to blow off CO2, right? So CO2, which we're going to get on into here in a second as we get into CO2 tolerance training, but CO2 is the metabolic byproduct that signals that panicky, I need to breathe feeling. So there's a difference between running out of gas and getting breathless. And breathlessness is caused by rising levels of CO2. And so if you blow off CO2 proactively before you start your hard effort, you're going to be able to push harder and longer before the CO2 levels rise to the level to trigger that breathless feeling. And again, if you don't do that, then the CO2 levels are going to get ahead of your breathing faster. So that's a really important thing, especially on hard climbs and sprints. It's usually that breathless feeling that starts to hold us back more than really running out of gas, right? And so getting more oxygen to the working muscles by breathing harder, there's, you know, several benefits, but really one of the primary ones is that blowing off of the CO2. This is what like deep sea divers will do before they dive. They will take these big, hard, heavy breaths, big, deep breaths. And what they're doing is trying to blow off CO2 so that they can trick their brain into being able to hold their breath longer, because they blow off so much CO2 that it takes so much longer for the levels to rise high enough to trigger that I need to breathe feeling. So you can take advantage of this same thing on your bike to improve your cardio on climbs. And so again, the analogy I like to use in my head is, imagine you've got one of those old steam powered locomotives and you see a hill coming up, a big steep hill. You don't wait until you're halfway up it to start losing momentum and start losing steam, you know, literally in this case, and start shoveling more coal or wood or whatever on the fire, right? Like if you see that big hill coming, you're going to start throwing that wood and coal on the fire in anticipation of it. You're going to try to get a little speed, you know, with that, you know, get ahead of that with your, you know, by piling that fuel on the fire. And oxygen is that fuel for your muscles. And so by blowing off the CO2, by getting more oxygen to the working muscles faster, you're going to stay ahead of that fatigue, which is going to help you push harder and faster into those climbs or during that sprint. So if you know that this hard effort's coming up, then be more proactive with your breathing. Okay, so, and then this leads us into our CO2 tolerance workouts, which is breath hold training. So this is going to specifically target that CO2 tolerance and also has a lot of other benefits as well, right? So the breath holds have a really long list of benefits for us as endurance athletes. And so remember, even downhill racing is a strength and power endurance event. It is, you know, it's long enough to where endurance is a factor. And again, endurance is relative to what you're doing. But like I said, even the shortest, most intense, part of mountain biking is still an endurance event. And so breath holds are going to have a big benefit for all of us, no matter what you do on a mountain bike. And so some of the benefits include the improved CO2 tolerance. Basically, what it's doing is changing your relationship with CO2. So rising levels of CO2 signal to your brain, you know, what's happening is that your body follows what's known as a negative feedback loop. So it's not monitoring what it's worried about, which is oxygen. It's monitoring a byproduct of oxygen. So as CO2 levels rise, generally speaking, you're going to see lowered oxygen levels. And so the brain senses the higher CO2 levels and thinks that the higher CO2 levels are there because oxygen levels are dropping. And then that is what signals that panicky, I need to breathe, I'm getting breathless feeling. And so if you can train your brain to tolerate higher levels of CO2, you'll be able to push yourself harder and longer before you trigger that breathless feeling. And just like everything else, we have a governor of sorts, you know, just like, you know, getting stronger, right? Like you start out, you start lifting weights, and a lot of what's happening is you're taking off these restrictions that your body has placed on it unnecessarily, right? Sometimes you got to train something and show your body, hey, I can push myself harder and still be safe. And that's what leads to gains in these areas. And so CO2 is like that. Like you have to get your blood oxygen levels to 50% or lower to worry about passing out. And so most people struggle to get their blood oxygen levels down to 90%, right? So you have a really long way to go before you got to worry about triggering a blackout or any sort of like real negative side effect from rising levels of CO2 from breath holds or hard work or whatever the case may be. And so, like I said, just like everything else, excuse me, you're going to find that you can improve it through training and showing your body, oh, I can actually tolerate higher levels of this, and you're being very safe with it. I just wanted to point that out, that this is safe. You don't have to worry about doing any sort of damage. You're not pushing yourself. It's not like, oh, that those restrictions are there for a reason, James, and you don't want to take them off. It's like, you know, they're there, but we can definitely, they tend to be very conservative naturally. And so through training, we're able to push them closer to where they really should be to allow us to perform at an optimal level while also staying safe. And so that improved CO2 tolerance is one thing. You're also going to get increased EPO, which is the thing that the Tour de France riders always get in trouble for. What EPO does is signals the maturation of red blood cells. And so EPO itself really doesn't do much. What it does is it improves your red blood cell count. And that's what red blood cells carry oxygen. And so it's going to help oxygenate the bloods and carry away CO2 and do all that. So that's what you're looking for. And so when you do breath holds, it signals to your kidneys to produce EPO. And so, again, that's going to lead to more red blood cells. And then it's also going to improve the strength of your breathing muscles through isometric contractions. And when you do breath holds, your body's still signaling your diaphragm and breathing muscles to contract and move so that you can breathe. You're just having to consciously override that and hold them still. And so that is an isometric contraction. And so you do get stronger with your breathing muscles, which you don't get stronger from doing regular intervals, which is something that surprised me when I found that out, but there's science to support that. So those are some of the top benefits there. So what we're looking for with our breath hold training is to create a a low oxygen, right, a hypoxic environment, and coupled with a high CO2 or hypercapnic environment. So when you do this, you've got low oxygen and high CO2. This is the metabolic environment that signals a lot of the changes that we're looking for, right? Like short of the isometric strength, but a lot of the changes that we're getting are these metabolic changes that are signaled through a low oxygen, high CO2 environment. So this is going to be easiestly accomplished by holding on the exhale and then moving and doing something. Okay, the reason that we hold on the exhale is because this is what's going to build the high CO2 environment faster. If you don't have oxygen in your lungs, then your body is going to start, it has less oxygen to draw from, and you're going to start building CO2 faster and also, you know, run oxygen levels dropping faster. So to do this, it's a normal breath in and a normal breath out and then hold. And a normal breath out is just that. It's just a regular breath, because you have a normal breath where you just breathe out. And then you've got like that breath where you're like, you're trying to push all the air out of your lungs. So in general, a normal breath out is going to be somewhere about 80% of the air in your lungs exhaled. So you're going to have a little bit of air still left in your lungs, but it's just a comfortable exhale, not a full forced exhale. And so if you can, I encourage you to hold your nose after you exhale and as you're doing your movement, because it's very easy for just the movement itself to draw air in and out through the nose. And it's, you have to be very conscious of it. And the easiest thing to do, again, I thought pinching my nose was silly when I first started doing this stuff, but I found that it was way more effective and way easier to do a true breath hold if I did it. And so that's what I encourage people to do as well. So as far as moving goes, there's several things that you can do. You can do something as simple as walking, right? So start by going for a walk and then doing your normal breath in, normal breath out, and then walk for like 10 to 15 paces and stop, and then just do normal nose breathing. And if that's easy, then up it to by 5 paces. Right? So start with like 10 to 15 and then go like 20, 25, 30, and, you know, try to build up how many paces you can get between or during your breath holds. You can up this to running, doing the same thing. So starting with a walk and then getting, you know, starting to jog and then run. And again, counting how many paces you're able to go and seeing if you can match and or beat that each time you're doing it. So, you know, you're looking for 5 strong breath holds to trigger those metabolic changes. So when I'm talking about using these methods, you're generally going to do these to 5 times, right? So you're just looking to trigger those 5 strong breath holds. You can also do this riding. So either on an exercise bike or on your bike. You know, I wouldn't encourage you doing this during a very, you know, technical, difficult part of your ride, but on an easy part, doing some breath holds. And again, you're not trying to push this to the point of passing out. And like I said, it's very hard to push yourself that hard. Your body does have those feedback loops there for a reason. And so you will find it hard to push yourself to the point that you can pass out, but you need to be safe, right? You always need to be conscious of that when you're doing these breath holds. Some people can be very strong-willed and push themselves to the point where they might pass out. So you wouldn't want to do that while you're riding, especially if you're not, you know, on like some sort of stable exercise bike. But again, done smartly, this is something that you can do on your bike. And from a sport-specific training standpoint, that's going to be one of the better ways for us to do it as riders by trying to do it on a bike, because that is going to have that more specific context for us. And then you can also use body weight exercises, excuse me, like squats and push-ups. And so something like doing 10 squats where you breathe in on the way down and out on the way up, nose breathing only, doing that, you do that for 5 reps. And then finally you finish with 5 reps with a breath hold. So you breathe out on the way up on the 5th one, and then you would pinch and hold your nose and you would do 5 more reps and then do your recovery breathing. And something you can always do with this to push things a little bit harder, if you feel like you can, is to do 6 little mini breaths after your breath hold to kind of get just enough air going to quiet things down in your brain, but not enough to really affect the CO2 levels. You get a little bit higher rise of CO2 doing this. And so you're just looking for six little mini breaths, like, you know, quarter breaths, just a quarter of what you would normally take in and out, you know, six of those, and will help push things even harder for you. But again, that's optional. If you, the main thing is you don't want to lose control of your breathing. You don't want to push yourself into some sort of, like, you know, really bad mental space where you might have a panic attack or something like that. So when you're done with your work, the main thing is just trying to get back to normal nose breathing as quickly as possible. But like I said, you do have that option to push yourself a little harder with those little mini recovery breaths. So, you know, like I said, squats, push-ups are really good. I would not necessarily recommend using weighted exercises, just because you do have an increase in blood pressure when you hold your breath. And, you know, again, I'm not sure how safe that is, so I tend to err on the side of caution. And I'm really not trying to build strength with these exercises anyways. Remember, you're just trying to trigger the metabolic environment needed to get the changes going that you want. And so because the breath holds themselves are the stress, you don't have to work as hard physically. And that's one of the good things about this type of cardio training, is it's much easier on your body than interval training, or even like long, slow distance, like where you've got to put in a lot of miles. Because for that, it's the work itself that is the stress that you're looking for to create the environment to get the changes you want. Whereas with the breath holds are the primary stress. The movement is secondary. And so you're not having to work as hard and push yourself as hard to get yourself to the metabolic environment that you're looking for. And so I would, when you're doing the CO2 tolerance workouts, I encourage people to use a pulse oximeter to see what their blood oxygen saturation levels are getting down to, because you're looking to get it down to at least 85% to get the most benefits. So 85% is equal to being at about 14,000 feet. That's what your blood oxygen saturation levels would be at 14,000 feet. And this is where you're going to start getting the most benefits. So if you can get it below that, then great. But you don't have to get the benefits. But you want to try to make sure that you're at least getting them your blood oxygen saturation levels that low, so that you are getting those benefits. Now, you know, just know if you start these workouts, it may take doing it a few times before you're able to really push yourself that low, especially if you have a low BOLT score. Again, I covered that in the first podcast, but this is where you see how long you can hold your breath on an exhale before you feel a strong urge to breathe. Not even really a strong urge, but like you feel the urge to breathe. And so if you have below, you know, 20 to 30 seconds, that is a poor CO2 tolerance. And, you know, in general, that signals a poor tolerance for CO2. And so if you have a low BOLT score, you may find that these workouts are very tough for you to push yourself to get the blood oxygen saturation levels down, but you're still gaining benefit. My point is like, don't give up. Even though the goal ultimately is to get your blood oxygen saturation levels down to 85% or lower, if you're not doing that, that's fine, because what's happening is you're still exposing your body to higher levels of CO2, and this is improving your body's relationship with CO2, and that's what's going to allow yourself to take off the brake, so to speak, and push yourself harder so that you can actually drive your blood oxygen level, saturation levels down that low. So I think I said saturation too many times there. So but that's just something to keep in mind. You know, don't be discouraged by this if you find it tough, because it is tough for a lot of people. These breath hold workouts are not easy, or else everybody would be doing them. So lastly, you have specific breathing workouts. And so I look at these in a couple categories. You've got tempo breathing, which is things like, your breath has an inhale, and then there's a pause, and then there's an exhale, and there's a pause. So there's four parts to each breath. So even if you don't pause at the inhale or at the exhale, there's a moment where you're changing from an inhale to an exhale. There's a momentary pause, excuse me, as that change takes place. So you always have a pause between the inhale and exhale in both directions. And so you have these four parts of your breath. And what you can do is assign a time, right, or a tempo to each part of your breath. So a certain amount of time in, a certain amount of time on the pause at the top, a certain amount of time out, and then a certain amount of time on the pause at the bottom, and then just repeating that process. And so this is where you get things like triangle breathing, where you would put a number at three parts of the breathing, or box breathing, or you're putting a number on four parts of the breathing. So for example, box breathing would be something like 4 seconds in, 4 second pause, 4 seconds out, 4 second pause, and then just repeating that breathing pattern. So tempo breathing like that is a good way to improve CO2 tolerance and reduce overbreathing, because what you're looking for is to find a pattern that pushes you to where it's a little uncomfortable, to where you're really having to focus and it's not easy to maintain that pattern because the CO2 levels from it are rising, the oxygen levels are dropping a little bit. And so this is going to help, like I said, with CO2 tolerance and also to reduce your overbreathing. The other thing that you can do as a specific breathing workout is fire breathing. So this is what you see in the Wim Hof method. And this breathing method has been studied and it has been shown to decrease markers of inflammation, which will, help improve recovery and a lot of things. And it has also been shown to have a positive effect on the immune system. And so if you don't know about it, check out the Wim Hof method. The Wim Hof method itself employs the breathing, cold exposure, and then there's some mental training as well, toughness training that goes along with it. And so, the Wim Hof method itself is great if you want to do that, but you don't have to do all of it in order to get the benefits of the fire breathing. I mean, even Wim Hof will tell you that he didn't invent any of this stuff. He has just helped to popularize these breathing methods. But the fire breathing, the method that he uses in the Wim Hof method, has been studied and shown to have these effects. And so it's a really great tool in the toolbox. So personally, I do breathing workouts, if you want to call them that, every day. And so I do 3 rounds of the fire breathing, which is 30 mouth-mouth, like basically hard breaths, full inhale. And then you just relax, exhale, full inhale, relax, exhale, 30 times, 30 to 40 times. And then you hold on the exhale. And then when you need to breathe, you take a deep inhale in, you hold for 10, 15, sometimes I hold longer than that, seconds, and then you repeat that process. And I do that 3 times, and then I spend 10 to 15 minutes doing Breathe Light, which is something I covered in the previous podcast, but this is where you're breathing as little as possible, just in and out through the nose, focused on breathing deep, and using the diaphragm, relaxing on the exhale, and just it is a form of meditation for me. So I find like doing the 3 rounds of fire breathing and then the 10 to 15 minutes of basically meditation, it really helps improve my breathing and my mindset. So I start off every day with that breathing workout routine. So your breath is the foundation of your performance. Okay, so to wrap things up, your breathing needs to be a focus of your cardio training efforts, because if you're not doing that, then especially over the long run, you're usually doing more to reinforce crappy breathing habits than you are to improve your performance. And again, this touches back to something I talked about earlier, which is the plateau that a lot of people hit, that after the first year or two of riding, they start to hit a plateau. Well, okay, I got to get more serious about my training. So they start training more, and maybe they see progress for another year or two, and then they hit another plateau and it's really hard to progress. And then they start, oh man, do I need a new bike? Do I need this thing? Do I need that thing? Because they feel like maybe they've taken their part of the equation as far as they can. But unfortunately, like I said, what's really happening a lot of times is that they're not really addressing the key weak links that they have. They probably have poor CO2 tolerance. They probably have poor breathing habits. They probably overbreathe. So all of these foundational things aren't addressed a lot of times when people start working out or in most training programs. And so being conscious of how you're breathing is super important, because otherwise, like I said, you're just going to start reinforcing crappy breathing habits. After a year or two of doing something, the benefits start to decrease, and you start to, you know, if you're reinforcing these bad breathing habits, you're, it's going to have a more of a detrimental effect over the long run. I mean, honestly, I feel like the way that most people breathe, that they would probably be better off not doing hard cardio workouts. Like, riding your bike is one thing, right? You should be trying to breathe good on your bike, but you always need to ride your bike, and that's what we do for fun. But people will try to improve their performance on their bike by doing these hard cardio workouts, right? Like, the whole Peloton thing is a craze right now. But they're not focused on their breathing, and they're just reinforcing crappy breathing habits while they're doing it. And, like, I would argue that they may be better off not doing that, right? Like, because your bad breathing habits being reinforced like that is going to make it harder over the long run for your body to, you know, adapt to better breathing habits. And so it's just, you need to think about this stuff. It's just like, think about how you move, right? It's not just doing the exercises. It's how are you doing the exercises? It's not just doing the cardio workout. It's how are you breathing while you're doing the cardio workout? And then also, what is the purpose? What are you trying to do with this cardio workout? What metabolic environment is this cardio workout creating? And is that the metabolic environment that I want to signal the changes that I need for me to get better at riding my bike? And so these methods here, I feel, will help address that weak link for a lot of riders who may be frustrated because they're not seeing the results that they want from their, you know, more traditional cardio workouts. So that's going to do it for this podcast. Hopefully you guys have gotten some good things that you can take and use both in your workouts and on the trail. You know, try that proactive breathing next time you're out on the trail. Remember to start breathing harder as you get into a hard effort and see how that helps you out, right? And drop me a line and let me know, james@bikejames.com. I'm always happy to help out if you got any questions or, you know, suggestions for future topics or anything like that. But yeah, let me know how these things go for you. And remember to visit bikejames.com, where you can sign up for the newsletter. You get a free isometric training workout. And if you like that, you can get the Atomic Strength Training System, Atomic Strength Training Program, which is the only isometric training system designed by mountain bikers for mountain bikers, and really helps improve your strength and your high tension cardio in a safe and effective way. It's really the cornerstone of my own workouts these days. So I encourage everybody to be using isometrics. And so that's a great, the free workout's a great kind of introduction to it. And then you can take that to the next level with the Atomic Strength Training Program. And also remember to check out pedalinginnovations.com, where you can learn more about the Catalyst pedal and why it is the best pedal out there for allowing you to unleash your foot and your body's true potential. So that's going to do it for now. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed this podcast, and I will talk to everybody next time.